for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, June 28, 1987. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the speaker of the evening.
Praise the Lord. Our Father, tonight again, we thank you for this precious day and night. We thank you for the Word of God. It's a lamp and a light to our pathway. And Lord, tonight, let the light shine upon us, Lord, as we hear Thy Word. Let that light that's within us, Lord, shine brighter and brighter until the day of the Lord. We thank You for Jesus, Father. We thank You for the One that came and died for us, who cared for us, who loved us. And we love You, Lord. We love Your people. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Let's turn tonight to the New Testament. Let's go to Hebrews 3. You know, I had several things to teach tonight, but I feel we should go the way that I'm going to go. I was going to teach on Judas and John. But, you know, there are two lies that's being taught. One lie is you can never fall. The second lie is you can never stand. Well, Judas disproves the first, and John disproves the second. But we'll not go that route tonight. Hebrews 3, verse 12, I believe it is. Hebrews 3, 12. Take heed, brethren, this is the church, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, I've heard it said that once I'm saved, that the devil cannot touch my heart. That is a lie. Let's read it again. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. How many know God's not going to make you depart from Him? No. Then we look down in verse 7 and 8, I believe it is also in this chapter. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts. So our hearts can be filled with evil. It can be filled with unbelief. It can be filled with hardness if we allow it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now turn with me to St. John chapter 13. I'm going to teach tonight. 13 of St. John. And look at verse 1. The latter part of verse 1, it says, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. This is Jesus loving His disciples. And how many know that included Judas? Next verse. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into what? The heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray. So first of all, the enemy comes with his thoughts, his seed, to get a foothold upon you, upon me. Then we go up to verse 27. Verse 27, and after the sop, Satan entered into him, and then said Jesus to him, that thou dost do quickly. So first of all, the thought, and from the thought it comes into the heart, and then Satan moves in, and then possession. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, so the heart was affected. Now turn also in verse there. Let's see here. Verse 30. Look at verse 30. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Now who went out? Judas, the son of perdition. How many know when he goes out, it's night. That son of perdition and night are one. And how many know God wants that old man to die daily? That son of perdition in you and me, which is that beast nature. Now look at the next verse. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. Hallelujah. And once you deal with Him, or daily as you deal with Him, and you die, then the Son of God will be glorified in you and me. Amen? Now, turn to Proverbs 18. Let's go there. Proverbs 18 tonight, starting here with this verse. Chapter 18, verse 14, it says, the spirit of man, the inner man, will sustain his infirmity. There's enough power in your spirit to sustain and keep you even with physical infirmities in your body. Now, we can't do that in our strength. It's in God. But there's an inward power in the inner man that can sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? How many know God's people are wounded everywhere? Amen? Amen? And it's real. Now, verse chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 12 of Proverbs. It said, hope that is deferred, and how many know it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. So the heart can be sick, just as the body can be sick. The heart can be sick. It can be damaged. It can be hurt. It can be wounded. It can be sick. Amen. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Now, look in chapter 12, verse 25. 12, 25. Now, I want you to hear this scripture. Heaviness in the heart of man. Now, when we're talking about heaviness, we're talking about anxiety as well. Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. That means don't be anxious for tomorrow. I mean, we can't do anything today about tomorrow. Amen? We don't have to worry about it. Well, I don't have the money to pay my bills tomorrow. Well, just rest in God today. Amen? Trust God today. Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop. So a heart can stoop, but a good word makes it glad. Hallelujah. How many want a glad heart? Amen. We don't want a heavy heart and a heart that stoops. Now, this word in the New King James says this, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Hallelujah. How many know depression's real? And it stems from anxiety, worry, being fretful, whatever. All right, now, look in 2 Corinthians. Well, hold your place in Proverbs. Go to 2 Corinthians 1:8. Let's look at the great apostle Paul in the scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. And notice the scripture. Paul said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant. That's misinformed or spiritual darkness. Of our trouble, our affliction, which came to us where? In Asia. That we were pressed. How many spelt pressed lately? If you're moving in God, you're going to be pressed. Amen. Notice, we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But I don't want to stop there. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us. Thank God for deliverance. Notice, from so great a death, and doth deliver, and in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. So it's past, present, future deliverance. How many know salvation means deliverance? People say they don't believe in deliverance. They don't believe in salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Proverbs 16:32 now. 16:32. He that is slow to anger. How many does that include in here? He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And that he that ruleth, and this word ruleth means have dominion or power over, his spirit is one, he's greater than a man who takes a city. Now, somebody conquers the city and we think, boy, he's great. But God said, you're great in my sight, you can conquer anger and rule that inner man. And that can only be by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? Now look in chapter 25. Proverbs 25:28. It says again, he that hath no rule. The word rule here means control. The one who that has no control over something. Over his own spirit. We like to control others. But I want to tell you something. We can't control anybody. Amen. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. And if we try it, it's witchcraft. But yet, how many know we better control this guy? By God's help, of course. He that hath no rule, no control over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down without walls. How many know when the city's broken down, there's no walls, Satan's coming in. The enemy's going to move in on you. Isn't that right? Now, we mentioned that one in chapter 16, verse 32, about slow to anger. Turn to Ecclesiastes a minute. We're talking about ruling the inner man. 7:7 of Ecclesiastes. 7:7. Chapter 7, verse 7. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad. How many know that's true? And a gift destroys the heart. That might be a bribe. Verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. How many know our salvation is getting better and better? Amen. Well, how many know the trials are being stepped up more and more?
Come on.
Notice, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient where in spirit is better than the proud in spirit, which is pride. Verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Where's anger at? It's in the spirit. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. And as God's people, we can become fools by allowing anger to rule and to live in us and to reign in us and through us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs 17. Hallelujah. This is just good practical word tonight. Chapter 17. 17:22. A merry heart a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Well, God's got the best medicine in the world, doesn't he?
Amen.
And it's merriment, joy, and gladness. But a broken spirit drieth the bones. I mean, Ezekiel saw some dry bones. Well, how many know the wind of God touched those bones and they stood up, sinews and flesh, and the breath of God entered, and boy, they began to move and march as God's army. Well, it takes God's breath. It takes God's gladness and joy and merriment in our hearts. Amen? That's the medicine we need tonight. But a broken spirit drieth the bones. It affects the bones. How many know if you got dry bones, I guess they're brittle. Isn't that right? Suppose. Some of you know more about that than I do. Remember Sister Foster preached on that. Chapter 25. Look in chapter 25, verse 28 of Proverbs. I read that. I'm sorry. Chapter 17, verse 22. 17:22. I didn't read 25, 28.
Yeah.
I thought I did. 17:22. What's wrong with me? Well, let's read it again. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. All right, chapter 14, verse 30. I bet I didn't read that one. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. How many know that God wants to put life in our flesh by soundness in our spirit? Notice, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. Now, we said there were dry bones, and now we're talking about bones that are rotten through envy. They'll rotten your bones. Well, how many know they will deteriorate? Or they are being deteriorated. All right, chapter 15, verse 30 of Proverbs, 15:30. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart. The heart You can tell a person has joy by looking at his eyes, can't you? But how many know you can tell other things too? Now notice, and a good report. The 10 spies brought back an evil report. 2 of them brought back a good report. It may be true, but they saw they were overcomers in the midst of all the giants in the land. Amen? And even though they looked like grasshoppers in the sight of those giants, they knew they could overcome by God's help. Well, it said, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones fat. Now, here's some fat bones. Some of us have that. This word fat means anointing. It's the same word where David said, he anoints my head with oil. Amen? And so when the light comes and the eyes of the heart begins to rejoice and there's a good report, it'll cause your bones to be anointed. How many know the bones of Elisha was anointed? Hallelujah. Isn't that right? You got that? And they threw a dead man rotting on his bones, and the man revived. Amen. Amen. Fire in those bones. Praise God. Well, go to Jeremiah a minute, chapter 20. Let's look at something here. Jeremiah 20, and Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Then I said, here's the prophet, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I'm tired of preaching. Don't throw in the towel. But his word was in my heart. And if his word is in your heart, how many know you can't stop from saying what God says to say? Notice, his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary and with forbearing, and I could not stay. Hallelujah. Notice where it was. It was, the word was in his heart, and the fire was in his bones. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. This anointed prophet. Praise God. Somebody said every prophet has heartburn. Probably true. Now, go back to Proverbs. Go to chapter 15, verse 13. Hallelujah. Now, here is how the inner man is broken. It tells us, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit, that's the inner man, is broken. Right? Notice that again. By sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. If we have sorrow on the inside, we need a healing tonight. Amen? We need to stay with God until the joy of the Lord comes. Now, what do we do? Well, we'll look at that a little later. Turn that over a little bit. All right, let's look at how the heart is dealt with and how it's wounded. Turn with me to Psalms 69. Psalm 69. Look in verse 19 and 20, and let's see what David said here about the heart. Psalms 69, 19 and 20. Thou hast known my reproach. Now, when we talk about being reproached, we're talking about being blamed or censored or criticized, rebuked or scorned, insulted, whatever. How many know reproach is real? Yes, it is. And notice he said, reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. So when the heart is broken, it brings heaviness. And I look for some to take pity. Well, we really don't need pity. We need deliverance or healed or whatever you want to call it. But there was none for the comforters, I found none. There was none to comfort David. They gave me gall, that's bitterness, for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. How many know that's also a picture and type of Jesus there? Yes, it is. So, David talked about being broken in heart because of reproach. And so reproach will break the heart of man. Now, a death of a loved one will bring wounded spirits. These two right here can tell you that. Amen? Disappointments, divorce, rejection, betrayal,
by many other ways. Turn to the Song of Solomon, chapter 5.
Hallelujah.
Chapter 5 of the Song of Solomon tonight. And look in verse 7. This is a beautiful chapter if you've never read it. But in chapter 7, the watchman. Now, this is the ministry. How many has ever been wounded by ministry? About everybody in here. The watchman that went about the city found me. You know, there are those that go around looking for somebody to hurt. And can I tell you something else? I don't feel any man is fit to be on the field of evangelism until he sat in a local church and knew and have known people and what hurts are. Because if he's been in a local work where people are, where brother you rub shoulders day, Sunday by Sunday and Wednesday night and whatever, then he's going to know people. He's not going to go out there and hurt somebody. He's going to bring healing and blessing, amen, in life. Hallelujah. The watchman. They went about the city, they found me, and they smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil for me. And when they got through, she probably looked like a streetwalker. Now, instead of covering, she was uncovered. And she was struck, she was wounded, she was abused. But there was no covering, no mercy, no love. Church, tonight is wounded in many, many facets. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, turn with me to a scripture. Turn with me to Genesis 37. And look in verse 31. How many believe that family can wound you? A man's foes are those of his household. Come on. 37 of Genesis, verse 31. Notice what it says here. It says, and they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found, know now, whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Now notice, there was no discernment here. Amen? Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Verse 34. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. And yet they knew what happened to him, didn't they? Most of those sons. But he refused to be comforted. How many know there comes a time some of us refuse consolation? And notice what he said. I will go down to the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Of course, he loved this son. But he says he refused to be comforted. Now, I believe it's Genesis 45. Hallelujah. Look in chapter 45, verse 26. Here's where the sons tell Jacob, Joseph is yet alive. He is governor over the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph when he had said this unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. What happened? His heart was healed. His heart was healed. Did you know tonight if you get your heart healed, your spirit will revive too. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, one of the symptoms of a wounded heart is, how many know, it's the inability to receive the Word of God properly. Amen? Number two, again, it's refusal to receive ministry or to be comforted. And number three, there's hopelessness many times, isn't there? How many have ever been there? Anybody ever been there? Amen. Amen. But God doesn't want us in a passive state, does He? No. Of course, then there's that inability to trust. Now, turn to Proverbs 27. Let's look at another scripture here. Proverbs 27. We're preaching all Proverbs tonight. 27:6. You can be wounded by friends. Every friendship will be tested. How many wants a friend that's a yes man? No. 27:6 says the Proverbs, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So God said that the wounds of a friend will come. Now turn to Zechariah 13 in the Old Testament. Zechariah 13. Notice verse 6. Zechariah 13, 6, next to the last Old Testament book of the Old Testament. Well, I'm like Brother Miller. That's really not old or new. It's all one. And one shall say to him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. How many know Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you? How many know God will permit you to be wounded at times? Turn to Job 16. Job 16. Job 16. Hallelujah. And notice what it says. In verse 10, 11. God hath delivered me to the ungodly. Who did that? God. And turned me over into the hands of the wicked. Who did that? God. I was at ease. How many of that's where most Christians are? But, well, I'm going to show you a scripture. Turn over to Jeremiah 48. Then we'll come back here. Jeremiah 48, verse 11. How many know God's got some ministries that's going to tip you over if you get out of line? You read the New American, you'll see it. Jeremiah 48, 11. Moab hath been at ease from his youth. That's his lifestyle. He has settled on his lees. That's the dregs, the dross, the filth. Amen. Now, before I read the rest of that, look over in verse 47. Last verse. Everybody see verse 47, chapter 48? Yet I will bring again the captivity of who? Moab when? In the latter days. Now, that word captivity means prosperity or the fortunes of Moab. God said, I'm going to bring again the fortunes that kept the prosperity of Moab in the latter days, saith the Lord. Thus far is the judgment of Moab. And God's going to judge the false prosperity in the land. But how many know he has a true prosperity? Did you hear me? And we know that Moab came from Lot through incest with his daughters. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And Moab means to be like father. So what was in Lot was in Moab. Amen. And yet God said, I'm going to bring again the prosperity, the fortunes of Moab in the latter days, and it's for judgment. All right, back to verse 11, chapter 48 now. Moab hath been at ease from his youth. He has settled on his lees, the dregs, the dross, the filth, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel. How many know it hurts to pour yourself out? Because sometimes you don't feel like pouring yourself out. Amen? Number two, you can't pour yourself out just to anybody as to whom God directs. Amen? Neither have they gone into captivity. You don't want to be a prisoner for Jesus. Therefore, his taste remains in him, and his sin, his discernment, is not changed. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send unto him wanderers. But the New American says tippers. Anybody? I believe it's tippers. Anybody got that translation, New American? What does it say? Those who will tip? Huh? Tip, yes, okay. God's going to send somebody to tip them over that shall cause him to wander and shall empty his vessels and break their bottles. Hallelujah. But how many know if you're poured out from vessel to vessel, you become something sweeter, pure, and clear. Amen? Because when you're poured out from vessel to vessel, all the dregs and all the dross is coming out. Now, back in Job 16, I didn't forget it. Verse 12, I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath taken me by my neck. Boy, God will do something, won't he? How many know your neck's your wheel? And notice, how many of you ever seen any spirits in the neck? How many's ever seen that old stubborn, rebellious spirit that's in a person that they don't want to, want to turn the shoulder and don't want to listen to you? Maybe in your kids or whoever. It says right here, he hath taken me by my neck, by my will, and shaken me to pieces, and set me up for his mark. You know what that means? You're going to be shot at. How many know Joseph was shot at? The archer shot at Joseph. That's other ministers. That's other people. Praise God. Verse 13. His archers compassed me round about. He cleaves my reins or my kidneys asunder and doth not spare. He pours out my gall of bitterness upon the ground. He breaketh me with breach upon breach. He runneth upon me like a giant. Now look in chapter 17 and the New King James. Anybody got a New King James here today? I believe the New King James says in verse 1, part of it says, my spirit is broken. Is that right? Chapter 17, verse 1. Is that right? King James says, my breath is corrupt, my days are extinct, the graves are already for me. But part of that says, my spirit is broken. Amen?
Hallelujah.
All right, turn with me to Proverbs 4. Let's see now what we can do if we're hurting. Proverbs 4:20. My son, my daughter, attend to my words. You know, this is the most neglected book there is. And like Brother Miller said one time, why buy books if you don't study this book? It's good to buy books, but how many know this is the book of books? Verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not, that is his words, depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of the heart. For they, the words, are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. That means every part of your flesh. That means inside and out. Next verse. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are something the issues of life. Now look over at chapter 3 a minute. I'm not going to read all this. I usually do if I teach along these lines. But look in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Notice, all your heart. Lean not to your own brain. Understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. That means when you go to the grocery store. That means when you go to work. That means when you come to Lake Hamilton. And he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. But notice the word navel. It should mean it should be health to thy nerves. Amplified says that. Amplified says nerves. How many know our nerves need to be healed? God said, if we trust in the Lord, if we don't lean to our understanding, if we'll acknowledge him, and if we're not wise in our sight, but fear the Lord and depart from evil, God said it'll be health to your nerves and marra to thy bones. Amen? And let's don't leave out verse 9. We better throw it in. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. I mean, if your heart's right, your giving's right. And brother, let me encourage you to support Lake Hamilton. Praise the Lord. Now, turn to Luke 1:80. Luke 1:80. Praise the Lord. We're talking about John the Baptist. And the child grew and waxed strong. Strong in what? Spirit. How do you do that? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew something. They, that's the corporate body, but yet it's individuals. They that wait. We don't like to wait for nothing. You get in a traffic jam, say, how long do you like to wait? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew, restore their strength. And they'll not only run and walk, but they'll mount up as eagles. How many know we need to mount up tonight? And it says here, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Now, go back to verse 40. This is Jesus. It's chapter 2. That was chapter 1, verse 80. This is chapter 2, verse 40. Chapter 2, verse 40. And the child grew, Jesus, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Both John the Baptist and our Lord waxed strong in spirit. One other scripture, Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord once in a while. When I feel like it. Always. And again, he's saying, rejoice. When? Always. How many know there's many times we don't feel like it? But we don't go by feelings. We go by faith, don't we? If I went by feelings, I wouldn't be preaching here tonight. I'd be resting. Verse 5. Verse 5. Let your moderation. That word moderation, I guess, can mean different things, but one of the meanings is, it means patience or gentleness or mildness. Let your moderation. Somebody hollered something, I didn't hear it.
Self-control.
Self-control, I like that. Let your self-control be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, next verse. Be careful for nothing. Now, that don't sound like we understand that. But it means don't be anxious for anything. But how many know we do the very opposite? Huh? Didn't Jesus say, let not your heart be what? That means to be agitated like rolling water. Hallelujah. And how many know? Traveling down on these Arkansas highways will get you agitated. Oh, boy. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Well, doesn't God know my request? Yes, He knows what your heart's saying, but He wants to hear it. And notice, when we do what He says, rejoice in the Lord, and we have that gentle, mild spirit, and we're not anxious for anything, and we let our requests be known. Then He said in verse 5, after we do that, the peace of God. You know, a lot of us just get up and quote verse 7. How many has ever quoted that in your own prayer life? But how many know we've got to come through verse 4, 5, and 6, come right on down. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep. Shall keep. Shall keep. Yeah, but you don't understand. The darkness is coming in. The heaviness is coming in. You know, all my problems. Well, He said right here, it shall keep your hearts and what? Minds through Christ Jesus. And then He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. We saw that in Proverbs. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9, we're through here. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard. We've learned some things tonight. We've received some things. Now we've heard some things. And Paul said, see in me, do. Be a doer of what you learned, you received, and you heard. And what you've seen in me. How many know He was an example? How many know we need to be an example? And the God of peace. The God of who? The God of peace shall be with you. How many know He's the God of peace tonight? Brethren, we have enough confusion and turmoil. We need God's peace. And you know, God said He's going to put His peace in this latter house. And not only put His peace there, is going to be filled with the glory. I want us to stand just a minute. Hallelujah. I want you to raise your hand, and I want you to keep it up just a minute. Don't put it up and put it down. How many tonight will be honest and say, I've been wounded in my heart? All right. Keep them up. I want somebody to go to that person next to you and love that one next to you. Maybe both of you, if you've both got your hands up, just, you know, put your arms around each other. And I want you to minister to that one that's wounded tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray tonight for those that are wounded, those that are broken in heart, those that are sick in heart. Lord, those that are hurting on the inside tonight, I pray, Father, that their hearts be healed. Their hearts be delivered tonight, Lord, of the heaviness and the sickness and the hurts. God, we ask a mighty healing power of virtue to go into your people tonight and deliver their hearts and to heal them, Lord, from the top of their head down to the soles of their feet, Lord. Let your virtue, Lord, your power, your anointing minister to those that are hurting tonight, we pray, Lord. Heal their hearts. Heal the brokenhearted. Jesus, you came to heal the brokenhearted. Heal them tonight, Lord. Oh, God. Heal them tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let your healing virtue flow into the hearts of men tonight here. And the hearts of women tonight, and boys and girls. God, if there's rejection, God, if they've been wounded by friends and by loved ones, heal them, Lord, tonight. Cause them to lay down their resentment, their unforgiveness, their bitterness. Cause them, Lord, to lay it down at the cross. In the name of Jesus. Karabosida bahandoro bokota rabasandele bikila basanda bokora bahaya. Haya toro bokota rabasanda la bakaya la bosida bahaya. Rapa tarabakatoro bohota rabasanda la bakila basanda bokoya bahaya. Haya toro bokota rabasita rabakandele besida bahaya. Hallelujah. 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 Let your glory come in this place in a greater dimension tonight, Lord. Let the glory of God come upon your people. Take away that heaviness, Lord. Take away that hurt, Lord. Take away that sickness, Lord. Take away that disease within the heart, Lord, tonight. Take away that unbelief, Lord. Take away that evil, Lord. Take it away, Lord, as they give it to you, Lord. Let it be released tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Release them. Release them. Release them, Lord, tonight. Set them free, Lord. By the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name and in the nature and in the authority of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Cause your ministering spirits tonight, Lord, to minister for those who are heirs of salvation, Father. Lord, at your command, you send your angels, we ask, Father, to minister for your people in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. 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 Praise God. Let's love Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give Him a good clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, we love you tonight, Lord. Jesus. Mighty Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Lord. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus, for ministering to your people tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, touch Brother Miller and Sister Miller tonight. Lord, I pray that you would pour in the oil and the wine into them tonight. I pray, Lord, that weirdness that's in their being tonight, that you would take it out. That, Lord, you would strengthen them. And that, Lord, you would give them a visitation this week in this meeting. Lord, I pray for a visitation upon Ermine Glenn, Lord. A mighty move of your power and your spirit. And that discernment and great direction from God would come into their lives this week. Lord, in a way that they have not yet known or seen. And I pray, Lord God, open their eyes and our eyes together. That we may know your will and your plan and purpose, Father. Help us, Lord. Encourage my brother and sister. And Lord, meet every need of the camp. Meet every need of the camp, Lord. We loose the finances. We loose the needs, Lord, that's here, Lord, to be met. In the name of Jesus, give them favor, Lord. Give them favor with thee, Lord, and with man. We thank you, God. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Brother Glenn. Hallelujah.
Well, we're going to dismiss you early tonight. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what we've been taught and learned today. We thank you for your presence and for deliverances that have been wrought in the hearts and lives of your people. Father, we thank you for a good night's rest. We thank you, Lord, for those to rise tomorrow to be intercessors in the early morning hours. And we praise you for it. And we thank you, Lord, for restoring and restoration and for the glory of the Lord to be amongst us tomorrow as we study your word, as we hear the word of the Lord, and as we put it to practical use in our lives, that we may be vessels fitly used for thy kingdom. And we praise you for it. Now, thank you for your peace and rest. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.